morning, good afternoon, good night. It is your boy, the Hip Hop Lobbyist, coming to you live and direct from Just Politicking Studios. And today,
when are we going to talk about Haiti? Listen, you don't see these Haitian people? We're protesting. We will not let America keep going. Have you seen the Haitian people? I know, Philip, you've seen them down south because I saw them and the trumpets were right across the street protesting. I was just like, what is wrong with this country?
We're going to talk about the shithole comments from your favorite president, the impact of the tax bill, and so much more this episode.
So the Haitian people have been down for America since the beginning. Okay? We're the reason why y'all got the Louisiana Purchase. But this is how y'all treat us. You want to know why? Because we were the first Black country to gain its independence. You know how long it took America to acknowledge us as a country and to trade with us? Forever. But now y'all want to hold us down, call us a third world country, say all these things about us. And even Trump, he's taken it so far. You know how many Haitian people from the earthquake will no longer be able, like their thing didn't get extended? 57,000 plus, I'm sure. And he just keeps beating up on us.
This is the Just Politicking Podcast. Please stay tuned.
Can I get y'all president for the Lord?
Yo, I play my enemies like a game of chess where I rest. No stress if you don't smoke cess. Less, I must confess, my destiny's manifest. There's some vortex and sweats. I make tracks like I'm homeless. Rap orgies with Borgie and Bess. Capture your bounty like Elliot Ness. Yes, bless you if you represent the fool. But I hex you with some witch's brew if you do do. Voodoo, I could do what you do. Easy. Believe me, frontin' niggas give me heebie-jeebies. So why you imitating Al Capone? I be Nina Simone and defecating on your microphone. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you. And take it slowly. You can't run away from these styles I got, oh baby.
You know what, Shell, to be real? I don't think it's just Donald Trump.
I know there's trumpets out there. I'm calling them trumpets now.
I think you should really just call them Americans. Because let's be real here. And I'm not trying to offend any of my Haitian friends. Anybody I know that has any relation to Haiti. But I'm going to be real with you. Haitians were the most disrespected people I knew. They were talked about voodoo. They ate cats. They smelled like stank powder. All kind of shit. And it really gets to a point where you never get to the history fact of the first Black independent country in the world until you hear all the negative shit about Haitians. And even to the point where the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation go down there, they're going to raise money, do all the stuff. They stole all the money from the Haitians in some aspect. I don't know the full story, but that's what people say, right?
That's so true. Haitians cannot stand them. Oh my gosh.
Exactly. So to me, it's kind of like an American thing to where the Haitian culture, Haitian people as a whole, have really been looked down upon by Americans in the world for so long. Right. And I get it. But I don't get it, because while we talk about, you know, Black History Month, Black Power, all these other things, we should really be looking at every Haitian, every person who came from that country through their family and generations before. And like, you know what? If it wasn't for your people, we would have never sparked the revolution in America that we have today. You know what I'm saying? But the Elena Show, give me your 2 cents on. It really, I guess, it really goes back to the shithole comments by President Trump, because it wasn't just Haiti he singled out. It was El Salvador. And it was really the entire continent of Africa, right?
The entire continent of Africa.
Right. Was it 57 nations or 64 nations of Africa? Like, everybody in Africa was disrespected by the president of the free world in some aspect. And these are still alleged comments. Some Republicans said he said it. Some say he wasn't. All I know is wasn't no Black people in the room, because Omarosa ass got fired. So wasn't no Black people in the room to report back on what actually was said about Black people from Black countries that happened. So the Elena Show, give me your thoughts on the shithole countries comment and overall your comments. I guess, yeah, we're talking about Haiti here.
So I'm not even surprised about Trump's comments, because at this point, I expect him to say the most ridiculous and utterly asinine things. So that's just was to put that out there. But I guess I found it hilarious. And not in the sense that I think that these countries are shitholes, because I don't think that, and I think that just dehumanizes people and all that stuff like that and makes them seem worthless and everything like that. But I mean, when you have an agenda and the people who surround you have an agenda and your whole thing is make America great again, which is like code for make America white as fuck again. I mean, you know, it's par for the course. And I mean, at some point, white people need to check their fucking selves and talk about how their people got here, because last I remember, they weren't born here. They came from some other country and their parents were immigrants and all this other stuff like that. And, you know, for them to treat other people like that and say they are so patriotic and believe in America and America's values, but here you are not believing in one of the biggest values in America, which is, you know, about the one that's on the Statue of Liberty. Give me your poor, give me your tired, give me, you know, the weary and all this other stuff like that. That's on the fucking Statue of Liberty that many people's families saw when they came over here, including the president's you know, family, who are all immigrants, including his wife.
I'm gonna keep this short and sweet. Pretty much y'all hit it on the head. Honestly, I can't really reiterate too much more other than just simply saying that y'all president is on one. Y'all president, as you already said,
that's your president too, bro. I don't know why you tripping.
My president is black, and the Lambo that I'm gonna get in the future is blue. Bruh, I have nothing to do with this president. I did not vote for him, so therefore he is not my president. So technically, my president that I voted for is at the house chilling with Billy C. So that's what I'm gonna say about that. But other than that, Donald Trump has been known to be very cocky. He's been known to be very just careless about any and everything that he does. So I don't know why people thought that him getting into the White House was going to make anything different, you know. So his reckless comments, I mean, think about it. If you were a 70-year-old billionaire, could you really tell me what not to say? Could I really tell you what not to say? Like, come on, that's just the reality of it at the end of the day. I don't know what mindset these trumpets, shout out to Shelly, was thinking when putting him in office, thinking that this is going to be different. But guess what? He pissing them off. Now they mad that he in office, but nigga, you can't be that mad because you put him in office. So that's just my 8 cents about the situation. It's all for the birds.
Now, you know that, and I get exactly what you're saying, Fizzy. Now, that's something that was brought up. I mean, besides the Haitian aspect of it, Nigeria, El Salvador, really all Africa, all that put together. I think that when you're a president and you have to say that you are the least racist person you will ever meet or ever know, that becomes a problem, because what is the least racist? Does that mean that you only have a quarter of racism in you while everybody else is at 50% or 75%? Or is it like you don't believe in race at all? Because his ex-wife came out and said it. He came out and said it yesterday. But I'm really trying to understand, what does least racist mean to you? So, the Elena Show, what does least racist mean to you when your white president says
that he's the racist motherfucker in the world? He's one of the top ones. Like, he might not be overtly racist and all that other stuff like that, but he can count how many black friends he got on one hand and, you know, all that other dumb shit, you know, and, oh.
But, okay, let me flip this a little more, and I don't mean to cut you off, but you do what everybody else, you know, it is what it is. So, let me throw this out there, this little curveball. Hip-hop, rap music. For years, Trump has been named in, from Jay-Z to Nas to everybody in hip-hop, regardless. Before 2016, Trump was a man. He was an icon for a billionaire, for his real estate.
Right.
Understand that. He had black friends. Mike Tyson, Kanye.
Herschel Walker.
You won it. He got it dripping like what?
Everybody. Bill Cosby.
Exactly. Bill Cosby and all, right? With the Quaaludes. So understanding that, why is it that he's president now and all of a sudden all this shit's an issue? Like, he'd never been labeled a racist when he was in the rap songs, but now he's president and showing his true colors. He's at least racist? Is he racist at all?
I think you answered the question. He's showing his true colors. Like, maybe before he never showed this side. Or maybe he knows that these are the true colors he needs to show to win. Because clearly it worked.
I mean, can we really actually say that? Because, I mean, that he never showed his true colors. Because I think there's been enough incidents to say that he has, that all of these things have been shown, but we have decided to overlook some of that shit. I mean, let's think about it. He had the whole situation with the Central Park Five. He was like the leading charge for calling for those guys' death in New York in the late 80s. And I mean, even still after the whole situation happened, he was still like saying they should get the death penalty, and they were nowhere near guilty. I mean, he had the housing discrimination shit. Like, I mean, he's always kind of said some, you know, stuff, but it was like, oh, you know, that was just the environment that he was raised in. I mean, his dad was caught at a freaking Klan rally. So, I mean, like, at some point, we can't say that it's like, you know, his, it's just his true colors showing. I think they've always been showing. We just decided to overlook them because everybody was like, he's a self-made billionaire and he's Trump with the gold and it's flashy and he keeps hot young things around him and all that stuff like that. So I think it's just, we decided what to look at.
What I think it was is that I think he always felt this way, and I think he always acted this way. It's just that now the camera's always on him and the microphone is always in front of his face. So now everybody is finally hearing the stuff that always come out of his mouth and the stuff that always is on his mind. It's just now everybody want to be shocked and, oh my God, I can't believe he said that. But the reality of it is, as Miss Elena just said, he been doing this stuff. He been saying this stuff. It's just now everybody's able to listen to it. He been calling country shitholes. He been calling people son of a bitches. He been doing all of the above. He been calling people Pocahontas. He been doing all of this stuff. It's just that now a microphone is in front of his mouth so that everybody can finally
hear. You make a great point. I mean, it really speaks to the times because we have Twitter, and Trump was already a loose cannon on Twitter before he got elected. So he just being him. Like, it is what it is. And it could be a distraction. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could be using this, his timeline, to take over a news feed or CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News for a day, at least, with whatever he tweets. But at the same time, it's like, there are things that's going on in policy that he could be distracting us from. But at the same time, he's showing his true colors, who he is as a person. I mean, it gets to the point where I'm looking at his tweet today, where he's talking about he's helped African-Americans get jobs in some aspect because African-American unemployment is at the lowest it's ever been. And his approval rating, as he says, for African-Americans is the highest or whatever. And he said thank you to the black people that are voting for him. Now, this could be Diamond and Silk. This could be the list of black pastors that who just totally put the Bible to the side and really rooting for Trump right now. But
oh, fuck them guys.
Oh. True. But as a whole,
did you say fuck the pastors just now? Gee.
Yes, fuck them niggas.
Yikes.
You know what? Fuck them niggas.
You know what? I just don't know what to say. Y'all are reckless today. But I'm gonna pray for you. I'm gonna pray for y'all and the president.
I'm gonna pray for y'all because I talked to God. He told me.
Hey, this is the podcast with King Shelley, the Atlanta Show, Fiji the Great, talking about the shithole comments that President Trump made about countries. Now, Fiji did make a good point, Shelley. After all of these things that Trump has said, as a person of Haitian descent, can you really be superly overly offended by his remarks, knowing that he's gone at everybody's head, like Elizabeth Warren is Pocahontas, Rosie O'Donnell is a sloppy pig or whatever? It's like, can we really be mad?
Yes, I'm very offended and I'm upset. And I mean, am I surprised? No. But no, we definitely can be upset with him. I mean, he's supposed to represent America, represent us. and we are Americans. So, you know what, with that said, the protests will continue. We'll keep fighting. Hopefully they'll find something that'll stick. We can impeach him.
I mean, I don't know if y'all have heard, but today or over this weekend, Martin Luther King holiday, Steve Bannon was subpoenaed by Robert Mueller as part of the Russian investigation. And if you don't know Steve Bannon, as President Trump calls him, Sloppy Steve, he is the, I guess, orchestrator behind, one of the organizers behind his entire Trump movement, who really got the Klan, white nationalists, and the alt-right behind him through Breitbart. So it's kind of like, I guess your wish may come into fruition sooner than later, to be real. Like, the shithole comments is one thing, but Trump is burning. Rome is burning. And his shit's going to go down. The Elena Show, you surprised?
He spent years and years with that birther shit when Obama was in office, which I thought was quite horrible. All the fucking Republicans in office are fucking making absolute fools out of themselves with the way they are behaving and the way they are just like copping pleas for this guy. I mean, I watched the Department of Health, Homeland Security lady, her name is Kristen something. I watched her clips of her testimony, and she's like, well, I was in the room when he made comments, but there was a lot of harsh language, but I don't remember him specifically using those words. Like, I mean, you're just sitting up there lying, like, it's not even necessary. Like, you look ridiculous. Why put your reputation in shatters for that guy? Like, of all the people, like,
I mean, she's already working in this cabinet, so technically she already ruined her whole entire career.
Right, exactly.
Because I think that there's something different from when you're leaving a George W. Bush presidency, a Barack Obama presidency, and a Trump presidency. When you put that on your resume, you're going to be looked at a lot different.
Exactly.
In different
circles. I agree on that.
All right. Feezy's great.
How I feel about the shithole comments? Yes, I'm offended because I don't care if I'm not from those countries that he was referring to. You still don't degrade a person, and you don't, you know, degrade where they're from or anything like that, especially if you're of white descent based off of, you know, our past and based off of history. So no, yes, I am offended. No, I do not agree with his comments. And I just personally feel that by the time he leaves the White House will be tainted and the presidency will be officially tainted of the United States of America, because it's like he is literally destroying all of the standards that and morals of that position, to where people already think America's a joke. Now they're really going to think we're a joke, because there is nothing about him that, number one, should have been in the presidency, and number two, there's nothing about him that makes him qualified to run this country, even though everybody already knew he barely ran his companies. But whatever, that's neither here nor there. So yes, I'm offended. No, I don't agree with it.
But here's the thing, right? Economists came out and said Trump deserves 90% of the stuff for the economy, right? We can personally feel as the black folks how we want to feel about Trump. We can be offended. People of other nations, other countries, they can feel some type of way. But the reality of it is this. If Trump serves 4 years, right, and he does amazing things for the economy, and yes, let's say things do get better in some aspects for black folks, even though Trump, there's a report today on the Hill that said that when the CBC, Congressional Black Caucus, issues were brought up during the same meeting where he made shithole comments about other countries, that he really said he didn't care about the CBC's priorities or their issues or what they thought, right? But let's say the economy is better. Let's say your Bitcoin is at $100,000 when he gets out of office. Let's say that you're paid off your house, you paid off your student loans, you're living better, you got more money, different things like that. Can we really say his presidency was a failure? Or will he be so bad from a Twitter moral, how we individually feel standpoint, that voters and Americans may feel that we need some kind of reconstruction era part two after his presidency? Because right now it's more of a popularity contest.
Is it reconstruction, like, even, or reconciliation? Because I don't think
either way, they had to start shit over.
I doubt that he's going to fix all these things that you're saying, that everyone's Bitcoin's going to go up and we're going to become fine. Like, his team sucks. That's why he keeps on ending up in all these stupid problems. He spends most of his time on Twitter. He's not doing any new programs. What have they actually established? All we talk about is all the crazy stuff he's always saying. We never talk about any programs he created. We can list all these things that Obama did. Even if we just start with Obamacare, like, what has he done besides repealing everything Obama did? What are you creating? What programs are you actually giving American people? Then these fake tax cuts where you're cutting stuff over here, adding stuff over here. It's all lies. I mean, Trump just needs to keep his mouth shut. He is helping us. He's helping. You know why? Because Democrats just won Alabama. That would have never happened. Thank you, Trump. And I hope every little disgusting senator goes down in each state, because he's actually helping the Democratic Party. Because with all the shenanigans that happened with Donna Brazile and all that stuff, that should have really brought us down. But everyone was too busy paying attention to Trump and his crazy ass comments that they didn't even pay attention to the fact that the Democratic Party is in shit, but we're still winning. So thank you, Trump. You're the best thing ever.
Well, essentially, it takes more than that to be a good president. Will what he does after his 4 years? I mean, the numbers will look good, but at the end of the day, I will never view him as a good president, and not because, you know, I'm biased or per se, but it's just. Overall, like, what did he do overall for the country? Like, what did he do with as far as foreign relations, foreign policies? What did he do? A majority of the things that he's done, he's torn down. Donald Trump has reached all the way back to the Clinton administration and tried to destroy some of the things that the Clinton administration implemented. I can't view him as a good president. I just won't. As far as the jobs are concerned, he's gonna have some of the numbers that's gonna be good. But guess what? Whenever a Republican is in office, a Republican is gonna make sure people money right. Now, granted, the unemployment rate is usually higher, but you also gotta understand, we just came from 8 years of greatness. Well, really 4 years of greatness. We just came from 4 to 8 years of greatness under President Barack Obama. So you gotta understand some of that came over into the front of feeder band or whatever. So some of this stuff is based off of that administration. But I mean, I just overall cannot give him the title of a good president. I'm never going to.
Yeah, I mean, jobs are always good, but and for growth and all that stuff like that. But I mean, I'm not going to sit up here and say he's a great president. Like, I think he's caused more problems than he has needed to cause to make this presidency work for everyone. And I don't know the best way to say that, but like, that's just my opinion, that like, he's setting us back. Like, for everything we're gaining, or quote unquote gaining, he's setting us farther back in other ways. And I don't think that's, you know, beneficial to any of us.
People have jobs, people have more money. And you can look at things that he's doing. Like, in some aspect, he's creating jobs. He's helping people get rich. Like, some of his tax cuts. Like, Walmart takes a prime example, right?
Okay.
Walmart gave $1,000 raise to all of their...
They did not give $1,000 raise. They gave $1,000 bonus, which is going to be taxed.
Right? Post-tax. And...
That's as a result of that,
they closed about 100 Sam's Clubs. No notice.
Actually, they did tell them. They didn't tell employees them until they got there. They sent everybody out an email, like a mass email.
At Sam's Club.
The day your last day.
I believe in the Atlanta area, if you're familiar, South Atlanta, they closed one in Stone Mountain, I believe. But they left certain ones open. People showed up to jobs, right? Looking to show up to work, managers, cart attendants, stockers, people working the midnight shift, leaving.
They didn't tell them?
Nobody. But think about how many jobs they just created. How many people just were added to the unemployment line right then for a tax cut?
Wow.
I'm gonna stop shopping at Walmart for real.
They're not talking about moving them over to Walmart. They're talking about you show up to a job. Like, this is your everyday. This is your livelihood. This is how you're gonna pay your bills and everything. You're working for Walmart, essentially, still. But you show up to your job and you are just like, bomb, I ain't got it no more. But everybody else got a $1,000 raise. I work for the same
company. But wait, they didn't get a $1,000 raise. Let's stop calling it a raise because it's not a $1,000 raise. They got a bonus. It's a bonus. That's taxable. That's not the $1,000 after tax. That's $1,000 pre tax.
Have you read the new tax bill?
Yeah, but that doesn't come into effect until like next year.
That's what I'm saying. When they get that $1,000, they're gonna get taxed on it. So it's not $1,000, okay? But
that still doesn't help the working class.
Right, and that's the other thing too. So, and they did have an hourly raise. They said they were gonna raise their minimum wage, but nonetheless, they're not the only company who said was like praising this tax bill, and then they did that same bullshit. Like AT&T did the same thing. They said, "Oh, we're gonna give all our people $1,000 bonus," and then they also at the same day they announced this $1,000 bonus, they also cut like 3,000 jobs, like or some crazy number like that. It was a couple thousand jobs that people lost jobs the same day that they announced these $1,000 bonus. So yeah, they're all these companies or whatever are praising Trump's tax cuts and all this other shit that he's doing, but at the same time, people are still losing their jobs while other people are getting quote unquote bonuses that are going to be taxed at 25%. So, are you really helping people? Because it sounds like that's not what's happening.
You want me to touch on the bonuses and stuff? I mean, that's fake. Trump is not, like, he's doing nothing for the working class or low-income individuals. Like, he does not care about those people. Like, this is great if you own Walmart or if you're, like, Amazon. He became, like, the richest person on the planet or whatever. Though, that's helping those people, which they're already rich. They don't have problems. Not for the everyday working class American. So, or the people who drive the tractors that came to the polls and work on the farms, that's definitely not the Make America Great Again people. That's not helping them. Like Dave Chappelle said, you're poor. Like, that's not helping you. But exactly. So they want to sit there and protest across the Haitian people. They need to be protesting their damn selves, because what $1,000 bonus did they receive? Absolutely none. Because you know what? Their local Walmart just got shut down, and now they have to drive 2 hours to get some groceries. Goodbye.
Wow. Sam's Club tweeted, "After a thorough review of our existing portfolio, we've decided to close a series of clubs and better align our locations with our strategy. Closing clubs is never easy, and we're committed to working with impacted members and associates through this transition." Walmart issued a personal letter to each store that closed, and I don't think that they did it. There was no tact. There was no like warning. I know that they had to know way beforehand that they were closing these stores. I don't agree with the practice.
They do. Can I just just one statement. When they close down stores like this, they hire these big consulting firms like McLean, Deloitte, and those mm-hmm. folks to come in and show them the best option on how to shut these down, like, and stuff. So they knew they were about to do that. They have to plan for stuff like that. I don't know why they didn't tell their people, but that's neither here or there. I'm done.
It's trash because, as you said, there are a lot of people, especially, so for example, let me use the Sam's Club in Lithonia up here in the Metro Atlanta area. The Sam's Club in Lithonia was a very majority black Sam's Club. It was in an area that was hit hard by the economic downturn. They're just now starting to get everything back to flowing and everything like that. They're about to build a multi-million dollar sports complex over there. They're going to compare it to Disney Wild World of Sports. So that area is back on the up and up. And the blow of all blows for that area, that, mind you, that boosted that the economy of that area was Sam's Club, and now Sam's Club's gone. And now the closest Sam's Club they have to go to is in Conyers. So now you're forcing people to drive past Lithonia, drive past Stone Mountain to go to Conyers just to go to Sam's Club. So as far, so that is one thing. Then now the next thing, as far as $1,000, that ain't nothing but hush money. You got to think about it. If you have people who are so busy working hourly, I don't care if it's taxed or whatever, give them over $500 at one time. They think it's Christmas. So they gave them hush money so that they leave them alone. And also, they're going to compensate them up to 60 days past it. So that's another thing. Then they still have to they still have the power to transfer within the company. So there are all these different things that they are trying to offer. But at the end of the day, you still caused all this stress on a family. You know, you caused this stress on people who were expecting to go to work and everything like that. So my whole thing is they just could have did it better as a whole. It's beautiful to give me a throw a band at me. It's beautiful to, you know, look out for me and make me transfer. But who say that I got a car to drive to the other Sam's Club to go to work? Who says that I have the bus fare to catch the bus to get to that Sam's Club? That my daycare for my kid can accommodate me for me to get off at the other Sam's Club, excuse me, or Walmart or however they want to do it, to then come and then pick up my child. Like, it's so many different factors that they could have did this in such a better way so that I can better prepare for the closing of the store. Hell, let's use the customers. Now you done lost some customers who ain't finna pay that $40 a year because they like, I ain't driving to Conyers. I just go across the street and go to a whole nother retailer. So, you know, you got all those different factors in with the whole Sam's Club situation.
Well, think about this, you know, they were talking about what Walmart's strategy is going to be. So Walmart is basically trying to figure out how they can compete with Amazon. This is all about how to compete with Amazon. So like in my particular area where they closed a Sam's Club, they're going to turn that into a distribution center for all their online and ordering and all that stuff like that. So this is what their corporate strategy is they're closing these Sam's Clubs to basically turn them into like Amazon-like distribution centers so that their beefed up online situation can be more competitive with the Amazon. Because, I mean, honestly, just about anything you can buy at Walmart, you can buy off of Amazon. And sometimes you can find that stuff cheaper. Also, hell, Amazon will deliver it to you within an hour or two in certain areas if you have the Amazon Now delivery option. So, I mean, so at one point it's like, yeah, you're giving your workers things, but at the same time, because now you've changed your business strategy, you're hurting your workers. And they're not like retraining these people to get jobs that can pay more money. I mean, you know, I feel like in Florida in particular, they just raised the minimum wage, 0.15%, which is basically it went from $8.10 an hour to $8.25 minimum wage. People can't live off of $8.25 minimum wage, and especially with the way that the price of rent and, you know, many other things in Florida are skyrocketing, it is not affordable. You can't raise a family on $8. We need to we as a country and our politicians need to reassess and rethink this whole minimum wage, and they need to move to a living wage. I think that there is enough profitability in companies still for us to be able to afford a living wage for people, because at the end of the day, something's gonna, like we had the housing bubble before, like something else is about to bubble, because in a minute people are not gonna be able to afford, because the price of living is keep going up, but wages are staying stagnant.
Are you saying like it'll be like a jobs bubble?
I don't know if it's a job bubble or what the next bubble is, but there's something's going to break.
No, but think about it. Where it'll be a bubble to where if you have to go that route, you lose your job. One day everybody else keeps their job, right? And they get some kind of a text. Hold on, I'm trying to pause my text coming in.
You're listening to Just Politica Podcast with King Shelly, the Atlanta show, hip hop lobbyist, and Feezy the Great.
All right, so
I hate y'all.
Oh my god.
So basically you have like a jobs bubble, right? To where these people are doing so much to create this new wealth, like this new bonus, right? That's taxable. And everybody else is losing jobs. So you'll have this big bubble of people who got the stack. Other people who end up getting a spike in minimum wage to $15. And then you have Costco being competitive and other stuff like that. But damn, these texts. What the fuck? Why y'all niggas texting? Bitch, type in the damn chat. Bitch. Not. My bad. I'm just do not disturb it. Everybody. Shit.
You know, you could just put your phone on silent, right?
Hold up. Because I want to know what the hell y'all texting. Because it ain't going into the group chat.
No, not that. If everybody texting, I'm like, shit, like, do not disturb everybody. And I'm like, damn it, stop. Anyway. Anyway, it'll be like a jobs bubble, right? And people will end up losing jobs, essentially, right? Unemployment is going to go up, they say. Or it'll burst and everybody end up losing their jobs because nobody will be able to afford to live. Because even on what I was making with this $1,000 bonus, that's not really going to last. Right? I'm still going to be in the same situation in some aspect possibly. Right? And if that happens and people still not getting jobs and they can't afford to live, we may be on to a whole new revolution of a war to be like, listen, we at odds with everybody. Politicians, corporations, government, the establishment as a whole, it's like we could be at war, like financially, because nobody will have jobs because the corporations have money, but they'll keep you right under because they know you live in the poverty in most aspects. They know you're middle class and you have to do certain things and pay into the tax bracket. And
hell, they ain't even middle class. They like damn near working poor.
That too. Everyday people. Voters, some unvoters, whatever. But in some aspect, the president's called them sons of bitches. They from shithole countries. What is America? It's like, if you know this situation is happening where you're just firing people and you just giving money to the rich and you expect them to create more jobs, I mean, what, you're going to create another Walmart? I mean, you're still not really giving them benefits. No, I think they're actually giving them maternity leave now. So does that really like make it worth it?
I mean, let's think about it like this too. You remember that whole big old situation with the carrier employer in like Ohio area that they got all those voters for Trump because he said he was gonna keep their jobs from going to Mexico, and all the motherfuckers done got laid off now? I mean, they did all of that. They made this big, you know, big deal out of it and everything like that. And those people got lied to. So, I mean, he lied to his base. But, I mean, they don't give a shit. But, you know, it is what it is.
Just Politica Podcast with King Shelly, hip hop lobbyist, Feezy the Great, and the Atlanta Show. Thank you so much.
Oh, boy. I hate you so much.
Well, that does it for this episode of the Just Politicking Podcast. Thank you for joining us, talking about your president and his shitless comments about great people and the impact of the tax bill. Really, you know, I hope you enjoyed the conversation. I get it. We got to live through this a little longer. Things are going to happen, like some jobs may be created, but at the end of the day, where are we going to be post Donald Trump? Because the way things going right now, we could be in a second year of war. We could be in a financial crisis. Your Bitcoin could hit $80 million probably, all in 2018. Either way, we got a long way to go. Go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, share the Just Politicking Podcast. You can find us online. Thank you for joining us.
Now that I escape, sleep, walk, awake. Yeah. Those who correlate know the world ain't cake. Jail bars ain't golden gates. Those who fake, they break. When they meet their 400-pound mate, if I could rule the world, everyone would have a gun in the ghetto, of course. When get the up and on their horse. I kick around drinking moonshine. I pour a sip on the concrete for the deceased, but no, don't weep. Why Clef's in a state of sleep, thinking about the robbery that I did last week. Money in the bag, banker look like a drag. I wanna play with pelicans from here to Baghdad. Gun blast, think fast, I think I'm hit. My girl pinched my hips to see if I still exist. I think not, I'll send a letter to my friends. A born again hooligan, only to be king again.
Ready or not, here I come, you can't hide. Gonna find.